We'll read this passage here. Let's pray first. God, as we listen to the words of Jesus as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, open our eyes. Help us to see where we are in this story. And help us to learn. Amen. Jesus continuing said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Thus endeth the reading of the scriptures. That little line at the end. They were amazed at his teaching. Why? Because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Ouch. Not as the teachers of the religious law. It was another little dig in Matthew, a little commentary on the religious people. On the people who were very particular about keeping the law, very particular about how it was done. And they were the ones who were the judges and adjudicators of everyone else's spirituality. They were the measuring stick. They went around regularly taking everybody else's spiritual temperature. And Jesus taught differently. And it's hard to know exactly what it was. Like, why did what he said have so much more authority than what they were saying? We could probably come up with all kinds of things, but there's a couple that I want us to think about, a few here. As I was reflecting this week, what was it? Well, he clearly spoke with conviction. He believed the things that he was saying. It wasn't a performance or a show. It's not merely parroting what he heard someone else say. And it wasn't a party line. He was saying some things that pushed back and challenged some of the things that were presumptions that the people would have made. Some of the things that were assumed. He wasn't saying what was expected. And I think that caught people's attention. He certainly presented a different picture of the Father, a different picture than they were used to. He presented a picture of a generous God who blesses everyone regardless of whether they were doing what he wanted or not. God who makes the rain fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. We were camping and it started to rain, and I don't know who the right, you couldn't tell from the rainfall which ones of us were righteous and which ones were not. The rain fell on all of us, and the lightning was spectacular. He's a loving parent who will give them what they need. That's not an image that they were used to hearing all the time. Certainly not from the way the religious leaders behaved. More of a judging parent who was constantly displeased, smacking a ruler. But also a parent who expected them to learn, who expected them to grow up and mature, who wasn't going to keep them children forever. A parent who expected them to receive the love that God was giving them and also to start using that in their own lives, to learn to forgive each other, to learn to receive forgiveness and to learn to give forgiveness. They also recognized that Jesus was speaking from experience, and Matthew's pretty clear. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount right after he'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 days without food or water, starving, hungry, fasting, in prayer. I think Jesus probably had some idea of what it was to be tempted and tested, and also to suffer. He knew what pain was. He knew in his own experience. And so he was speaking out of an experience, and they could see that. It comes out of something that was owned. He owned it. He owned his own temptations. He knew what they were. He owned his own suffering, and he knew what his own suffering was. And he watched, and he listened, and he learned, and he was honest. You know those people, you encounter them every once in a while, they say something out loud, and you realize you already knew that, but you'd never actually said it. They were actually saying something that you knew, or saying something, and although you'd never heard anybody say it before, you immediately recognized the truth of it. I think that was part of it. And what he said was practical. He wasn't parsing little legal definitions. He was practically applying the truth. Practically applying honesty. Begin with God. See your own self clearly. And then look out on the rest of the world. But always beginning with God. And there was clearly passion. There was clearly passion in what he said. Go deep, he's saying. Go deep. Don't just manage the outside perceptions of other people. And don't do things just to please other people on the surface. But go deep inside yourself and know who you are inside and recognize the light and the darkness in you. And be deep and be honest. But don't stop there. Let that inform your relationships, all of your relationships. And those relationships will restore and reconcile and heal. And so what I'd like to do for our sermon today is hear the Sermon on the Mount. I want to listen to it again, all the way through, without commentary from me. Listen for Jesus' words, and listen for what Jesus is saying to you. There might be parts of this sermon that go right past you. It doesn't really register. Don't worry about those. Listen in context for anything that is resonating to you. And try to hear it, if you can, with the ears of the people who first heard it, like it's something new. Remember that those were people who struggled, and they knew what it was to suffer. And they were following this guy out of curiosity. They didn't know what he was going to do next. They didn't know what he really thought about things. But they had had a steady diet of being told, do this, don't do that, do it like this, do it like that, don't do this, must do this. Expectation and weight that had been placed on them. And hear why you think, or explore why you think they might hear this differently. Let's listen. Give yourself a moment. There's a crowd. You're part of the crowd, walking along. You're curious about this guy. You don't know much about him. You've heard he's healed people. You wonder what that's all about. And you follow along a little closer. Now, when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. But you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. And so in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You heard that it was said long ago, "You shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there. There in front of the altar, first go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together along the way. Or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. And truly, I tell you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the last penny. You've heard it said that you should not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at another lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be cast into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must first give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her a victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for that's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for that is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head. You can't make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it's said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than any others? Even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with a trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling on like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive when others sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. When you fast, do not look all somber as the hypocrites do. They love to disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and you will despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed up like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you ones of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, while all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. But ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if you had a child, asked for bread, would give them a stone? Or if they asked for a fish, would give them a snake? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him. So in everything, do to others what you would want them to do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Well, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" And then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like the foolish one who built their house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. And the question ringing in my ears: are we disciples or are we scribes? Are we people who stand back and watch, or are we people who follow? Are we disciples? Are we the crowd who just lets it wash over us? Or are we scribes? I don't think there are any other options for us in that story. We're scribes. We're just in the crowd, and we let it wash over us. Or we're disciples, and we're following. We're following wherever this goes, because he has the words of eternal life. Amen.